1600 ESPN with Spencer on sports on Thanksgiving Eve, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, getting set for a busy holiday weekend, not just for eating, not just for travel, not just for snow shoveling, it sounds like, later on this weekend, but also for sports, not only football, college hoops, but you've got wrestling going on this weekend, the annual Cy-Hawk Duel over in Ames coming up on Sunday at noon, Iowa State Wrestling, one of the best duels of the year. For both fan bases, although it has been a pretty one-sided run here for the Hawkeyes, and we'll preview that. Appreciate Eli McCown from the Des Moines Register for taking some time on a busy afternoon to talk a little wrestling with us here on 1600 ESPN. Eli, happy Thanksgiving week. How you doing?
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. I'm excited. You know, it's a busy time. We just wrapped up a state football, but that means it's purely wrestling season. The girls' year's already underway. Boys will get started next week, but in the meantime, we got Cy-Hawk coverage, so really excited. You know, this duel is going to be really, really close, I think. So just excited to really get to Sunday and watch this one.
Yeah, absolutely. We see the streaks, the trends, Iowa winning 20 straight, 35 of the last 36 and 59 of the last 63. So that immediately tells the people who aren't in tune like you and I, like, oh, Iowa's going to dominate. But we know it's just like football. It's just like any rivalry matchup, right? Basketball, whatever sport you're talking about. You get two rivals, you get a hotly contested, you know, kind of rivalry like this. Both sides are motivated to win this one, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think even when you talk with Iowa, it's interesting, right? Because Iowa's got a handful of, you know, in-state guys who are in this lineup. You know, Drake Ayala grew up with this rivalry, right? Ryder Block did, Ben Keeter did. They got, you know, Tom and Terry Brands, obviously, and same with, you know, the Iowa State side with Kevin Dresser and the guys that they'll have too. But, you know, for Iowa, the thing that they kind of pointed out was, like, this, the importance of this goes unsaid. You know, like, they don't have to tell an Angelo Ferrari from Texas what this rivalry means. They don't have to tell Jordan Williams or Michael Caliendo, guys who didn't grow up here, right? Like, they, as wrestling fans, they grew up watching this duel. They understand the in-state importance, and they've been around it. And I think you take one look at the probables, too, and that tells the story. It's going to be really, really close. And for Iowa State, it's a really big opportunity. I think when you look at the duel, it's last year, I believe, you know, you finish where you do at NCAAs, which was near, you know, nearly outside the top 30 because of injuries. And I think people have kind of written them off a little bit or kind of forgotten about them after last year. But this is a really talented team, top to bottom, really deep full of talent. So they're looking at this as an opportunity to kind of announce, hey, we're still here. And not only are we still here, you know, we're going to be coming for, you know, some bigger things this year too.
Before we get into the duel itself, let's just take a look at each individual team. We have a little bit more to look at from the Iowa perspective. Of course, they wrestled Bellarmine, they've wrestled Pittsburgh, and they had a nice run at the national duels. Just overall, what have you seen from Tom Brands and the Hawkeyes so far through their early part of the season?
Well, I think the biggest question coming into the year was 149 and 197, right? 149, I think you kind of circled and said, okay, is this the year for Ryder Block? You know, he's tore his ACL twice. He's really been through the ringer trying to get healthy. But, you know, if you watch his high school career, you know how talented he is. He only lost one time. That was Drake Ayala, won multiple times at Fargo. Really talented guy who everyone in that room would tell you, like, this guy, if he can get healthy, he's going to do well. And we're seeing that right now. Pair of top 10 wins at national duels. Wrestled the top 20, 25 guy against Pittsburgh and gets the major decision. You know, he's not only filled the 149 spot. I mean, he's given Iowa a real, real All-American type threat, it feels like, at 149. And, you know, I think Iowa State might have been thinking bonus at that weight, you know, a month ago before the season started. But, I mean, that's going to be a really closely contested bout. And then 97, I mean, Masoma and Dean. I mean, he went from unknown from out of Wartburg, you know, three-time Division III NCAA champ. If you're a wrestling fan, you knew who this guy was. But a lot of Iowa fans, maybe were the casual fans, didn't really know him. But he's become a fan favorite because he's explosive. He puts up points, highlight reel moves. He's really fun to watch. And that's kind of been the story so far, is those two guys have really stepped up and filled the holes that maybe Iowa fans were like, well, are those going to be the spots? Well, I think the answer has been a pretty resounding yes. And from 125 through 285, this team feels like it's as deep as it has been in a long time.
I'm glad you brought up Endine because, I mean, what he's doing is downright incredible. It's not easy to jump from, and my brain's still in football mode, but it's not easy to jump from FCS to FBS. It's even harder to jump from D2 to FBS or D3 to the highest level of competition, especially at the University of Iowa, especially in the Big Ten. But he's done that, and he's gone 6-0, and it's not like he's wrestling, you know, cupcake or low-tier wrestlers. He's had some ranked wins, performed real well at the national duels, had a win over Max Stout from Pittsburgh last weekend, who I believe is, what, fourth or fifth in the country. So he's been impressive, and what adds to that impressiveness of what he's been able to do is going from D3 to D1. That's not an easy jump, right, Eli?
Yeah, I mean, you know, at Wartburg, he obviously had a tremendous place. Right, I mean, there's not a better Division III, you know, really probably a you know, outside of Division I. I don't know how many places you would pick over Wartburg that you'd rather train at for a while. And he was at Iowa Lakes Community College before that. I think what's so unique about Endine is he really only started wrestling when he was about a sophomore in high school. He was a soccer player, and his brothers were kind of like, "Hey, man, you're not very good at soccer. You should probably try wrestling." And his buddy wrestled, and he started doing it. And I think what's really interesting about that is, you know, he's not a Drake Ayala. He's not an Angelo Ferrari. These guys who've been wrestling, they're 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. You know, he's new to the sport relatively speaking, for as much as you can be for like a grad student. But, you know, he's unique. He kind of brings some unique feels, and he does some stuff that I think guys just don't really expect. I think back to his Missouri match with that whip over he had into the pin. I don't think the Evan Bates there for Missouri was ready for that. You know, I think he's got a unique blend of size, strength, speed, athleticism, and just a unique feel that I think guys aren't ready for. He's just been incredibly, incredibly impressive.
Eli McCown from the Des Moines Register talking a little wrestling with us here on a Wednesday afternoon. Cy-Hawk duel coming up Sunday over in Ames. Let's transition over to Iowa State. They've only had one duel, of course, had the Cyclone Invitational. They beat Nebraska Kearney 37-3, excuse me. What have you learned, I guess, from the Cyclones with only a couple things to look at on film from them?
Yeah, obviously just like not a ton to go back and look at, but the thing is, this is a pretty veteran team and some guys we have seen quite a bit. You know, you have Evan Frost, who looks like he's going to make his season debut at 133. He was at 141 to start the year, working his way down in weight. So it looks like he'll go against Drake Ayala. That was a loss by decision for Frost last year, but Evan Frost is a tough kid. Him and his twin brother are as tough as they come, so you can't count him out of that match, despite the previous result. Anthony Etchemendia, he's back from medical redshirt. You know, he'll be down at 141. He's tough as well. Last year he was gonna go back into the lineup and then had a kind of a freak thing where his foot was infected after surgery and he had to and missed the rest of the year, but he's back. 49, it sounds like Jacob Frost has the edge on the job right now, but that could change. It's November, and Kevin Dresser said either could start in this duel. And you know, both guys have had experience at 157, so, you know, could they bump down there and make things, you know, I would say it's got options there, because you're going to have Vinny Zerbin, who's also at 157, NCAA All-American from Northern Colorado. Still kind of learn a little bit about him. You know, he's new to the crew, and we haven't got a ton of chance to watch him at when he was at Northern Colorado, but he'll be interesting. And Connor Uten's back after an ACL tear. You know, younger Bastida's back from his knee injury at 285. I mean, there's a lot of individual guys here that we've seen a lot of, but we just haven't, you know, seen them back, whether it be from injury, whether it be from a new place coming from transferring. So there's a lot to be learned about Iowa State, but it definitely is, looking at them on paper, you can plot a path forward for this team to have a really good shot in this duel.
Let's look at the duel. You said, you know, you look at it on paper, they have a really good shot to end that long streak that I mentioned right off the gate, 20 straight wins, Iowa going for their 21st consecutive win in this Cy-Hawk series between Iowa and Iowa State. Where does Iowa State have those opportunities, and where does Iowa conversely have the most opportunity on their side when you look at just this match on paper, looking at the probables going into Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, some of the bouts that I think are really going to kind of tilt this duel one way or another is you look at 125. Right now in probables, that's either it's going to be Dean Peterson for Iowa and one of Steve O'Coolen or Christian Castillo, 125. Assuming it's Peterson and Poulin, those two guys wrestled at NCAAs last year. Poulin got the takedown late to win that match. But that's going to be a really close one that could really determine where this duel goes. 141, Nasir Bailey and Anthony Etchemendia. You know, Nasir has a knack for getting tilt on top. And Anthony is probably, there's a good chance he might try and avoid going on bottom altogether, just because Bailey could end that match really quickly just with his ability from that position. So who kind of dictates that one is going to be really, really important. Who kind of dictates how that match goes, who dictates how the action goes is really going to be important. 57, there's just so many options. You know, Jordan Williams or Victor Voinovich, they've split opportunities this year, so we don't know who's going to get the nod for Iowa. You know, Vinny Zerbin's the lone guy at 57 for Iowa State, but again, I think you have Jacob Frost, Miro Johnson, who wrestled at that weight. I mean, you could, there's a lot of options there, so that one could go a variety of different ways. And then, you know, getting Musoma and Dean versus Rocky Elam, you know, and Dean has just been so good that you kind of think, hey, could he have a shot against Elam, four-time All-American, who's had a ton of success in Missouri before coming over to Iowa State. That one's going to be probably another pivotal one. And then Ben Keeter, younger Bastida at heavyweight, two guys who are athletic as it gets, as, you know, just strong and fast and athletic. Just, it's going to be such a fun heavyweight bout, you know, both of them coming back from injury. And 197 and 285 kind of feels like it's going to come down to how that finishes. It's assuming they start at 125. I mean, it'd be a heck of a way to end the Cyhawk if that's the way it goes. So you could probably point at every matchup in some shape or form and say, that's a pivotal one, that's a pivotal one. But 97 and 285, it kind of feels like if they start at 125, that could be what decides it.
What does Iowa State need to do specifically, aside from wrestle well and win their matches? What do they have to do specifically to put themselves in a good position to win and end that streak?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of just dictating, right? I think dictating the way those matches go. And I think that's something both coaches will tell you, is just you have to go out and kind of dictate the style of that match the way it goes. You know, again, you look at some of these matches, Ayala wrestles his best when he gets to his offense early and really starts to rack up takedowns. If Evan Frost can kind of slim that match down to a one sequence sort of match, he gives himself a shot. You know, 41, or, you know, Nasir, again, you cannot let Nasir Bailey get on top, because he'll get those crossed wrist tilts, and he can end a match really quickly or rack up points in a hurry. Rider Block at 49 can put on a tough ride. You know, you got to get off from bottom quick if you're Pinheiro or Jacob in that match, right? Michael Caliendo, you have to, you're Connor Uten or Aiden Riggins, you have to match his pace, match his explosiveness. You know, Angelo is really hard to score on, you know. So it really, for Iowa State, is there's a lot of unique styles that Iowa kind of brings to the table. And I think what's key for Iowa State is you have home field advantage. You kind of have to go out and stake your claim on the mat that this is how we're going to wrestle. If we're going to go out and compete, you're going to wrestle the way I want you to wrestle, as I think is really going to be key for Iowa State.
Can I get a prediction out of you? Or are you saving that for the register? What do we got, Eli?
I'm working on it as we speak.
Okay.
Actually,
all right.
I couldn't tell you an exact score prediction, just because I'm still, you know, I'm still kind of looking at some of these matches and thinking where this could go. But I do lean Iowa in this one. I think Iowa State, there's still a lot to be figured out for this team. You know, you look at someone like Evan Frost, who's still working his way down from weight to 33, you know, Etchemendia and Younger, Elam, Uten, you know, those guys are all coming back from injury. It's a lot to, you know, here in November to put on Iowa State. If you get to February, I might feel differently. We'll kind of see. But I think today, I just think Iowa's a little bit more battle-tested, a little bit, you know, just a little bit more proven at this stage here in November on what this team is versus Iowa State, who, coming off of a lot of injuries and not having a ton of opportunities so far, it leaves us kind of with a little bit more questions. So I do lean Iowa going into Sunday.
What can folks find from you at the register, not just with Cyhawk coverage, but throughout the rest of wrestling season?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, tons of Cyhawk content going up. We've got some storylines to follow, stuff from both their availabilities. We'll have a match-by-match kind of look at every bout and how things could go. But outside of that, I mean, wrestling season, we have a ton of preseason content coming out on the high school side with our wrestler rankings and preseason features. I'll be hitting up a lot of tournaments and duels this year, and continued coverage of the both Hawkeyes, men and women, the Cyclones, the Panthers. You know, it'll all be there.
Excellent, Eli. Have a great holiday, and we'll catch up with you again soon, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks, Spencer.